Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And for us to say to our kids, hey, could I stop by for 15 minutes? I think what's interesting about that limit, I'd love to, you know, I made your favorite cinnamon coffee cake. Could I stop by? 15 minutes, I'll just stay.
Dr. Kathy Cook on Focus on the Family Minute.
And no joke, you guys, that gives the kid the freedom to say yes, because 15 minutes isn't a three-hour visit.
Right.
When you don't know, maybe your son or daughter had work to do at home that night, or a really important FaceTime call with somebody else that you want them to be friends with, or whatever the case, they just wanted to go to bed.
Early, I love that.
Or they had a movie to watch, yeah, or whatever. And so you set the mental timer, or I have friends who actually set the timer on their phone for 15 minutes. They walk in and it buzzes and they say, hey, 15 minutes, and they leave. Now, if the kid says, oh, stay a little bit longer, like that's fabulous,
an invitation,
right? But I think the limit is really a blessing.
Yeah, that's great.
Shows respect.
Dr. Kathy Cook on Focus on the Family Minute.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Looking for a foot pain solution that doesn't cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars? Get the right fit at Tackins Shoes. Tackins has the latest Atrix 3D foot scanning technology available in-store, and it's free. In just minutes, their knowledgeable team will scan your foot to identify your size, pressure points, and arch type, so you get insoles built for your feet for real comfort that lasts all day. Tackins Shoes at the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso, or on Marsh Street in Slo, across from Wells Fargo.
Midstate Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Midstate Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidstatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. As a General, Ulysses S. Grant was spared a Waterloo, and yet as President, he almost met his Watergate. The Grant administration was widely believed, especially in Democratic circles, to have been a corrupt one. In the spring of 1876, Get Grant fever had spilled from the Hill into the heartland. But congressional investigators needed something substantial with which to nail the president. They would begin with grand-scale graft in the War Department. They would get to Grant through his suspect Secretary of War, William Belknap. Now, under Belknap, soldiers at army posts could no longer purchase non-military supplies from whomever they wished. Beginning June 1870, they could make such purchases only from merchants chosen and licensed by the War Department. And furthermore, rumor had it, these army post merchants, called sutlers, were paying up to 4/5 of their annual income to War Department officials. Some said to Secretary Belknap himself. It would take more than hearsay, however, to expose Belknap. But one man came forward. He was a soldier named George from Fort Abraham Lincoln in the Dakota Territory. He testified before a number of congressional committees. Yes, he had met the Secretary of War when he visited Fort Lincoln. Yes, he believed Belknap was a crook. And then he, George, produced certain documents to support his contention. He even linked Orville Grant, the president's own brother, to Belknap's alleged indiscretions. Well, before the congressional investigation was over, William Belknap resigned as Secretary of War. The administration was toppling, critics said. But somehow, President Grant himself weathered his Watergate. At least he was destined to complete this, his second term. But no thanks to George. And Grant would never forgive nor forget that. In fact, the president grew determined to punish George for trying to ruin him politically. Now, it's very easy for any commander-in-chief to punish a soldier. One day, the choice assignments the soldier had expected are no longer there. George had tried desperately to get back in President Grant's good graces. He even visited the White House personally. He sat waiting for hours before being told that the president did not want to see him. So George realized he'd have to do something spectacular in order to redeem himself. George would have to do something spectacular. So he set out to do something spectacular. But he failed so spectacularly that each generation since has remembered him for that one grand failure. George was General George Armstrong Custer. But Grant survived his political scandal, and Custer, attempting to regain the favor of the man he had sought to disgrace, trying to get back on the good side of the president, Custer planned a daring, reckless raid against the Sioux and the Cheyenne, and he, Custer, rode to his death at the Little Bighorn. All of your life you've heard of Custer's last stand. Well, now you know why. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And welcome back to Sound Off. If you're just joining us, my name's Eric Gorham. Usually I'd be filling in for Karen, but Karen Veeley's here with us. And I think we have an important interview because I think this shows just a whole nother side to the story about the dark money and Jimmy Paulding, Don Ernst and crew. And we have Lynn Compton here, and I do appreciate this. This is quite the treat, I think. I don't think people get... I hope you're seeing what we're getting here, because this is a big deal. And I was kind of going to, or alluding to something, when you look at this pack, and I'm talking about the most recent pack, not the pack that ran against Lynn, but they're now saying, oh, the money went to Jim D'Antona, it went to Greg Hart, it went to Don Addis, and Salud Carbajal, and we'll take Salud separately, because that's actually a bigger deal, in my opinion. But, you know, if they really split that money up like that, and they're telling you it went to Jimmy, but now it's going to all these people. My question is, I called two people. I called Woody, Michael Aaron Woody, before on my way here, and he didn't answer the phone. He was going straight to voicemail. And then I called, who's running against Addis?
Shannon.
I called Shannon, and I said, have you been paying attention to all the disclosures? You know, we just had a period. Are these people claiming that money? And she didn't know. So that's what I'm trying to find out right now. And I was hoping to have some of those answers before we went on air. I couldn't get them. But if they're really giving, part of that money really went to all these people, they would have reported.
They're saying it's not the money. They're not giving them money. What they're doing as a pack.
It's in lieu, though.
But you don't have to claim it as, it's supposed to be separate. So they're supposed to be like, We're getting lists for them. We're doing this, but it's not supposed to be tied to the campaign.
If you give them the list, then that's in lieu of, would it not
be? They can't give them the list. They have to.
Oh, I thought they gave them a list.
Okay, well, let me just say, I call bullshit on all this. I mean, and if you expect us to believe that Dorothy Hines, who lives in Napomo, I know who she is, she was Jimmy's treasurer. If you really, a PAC is supposed to be completely separate. No communication with the candidate. You can't direct it. If you really believe that there's no communication between Don Ernst and Jimmy, who he wanted to hire and wanted to get elected, has thrown almost $100,000 in now for Jimmy Paulding over the elections, and Hines is not communicating with them, I've got a bridge I want to sell you in Arizona. It's just not, it doesn't pass the smell test at all. And after the fact now, with this current pack, they're saying, oh, well, we're going to also give to all these others. We're going to do stuff for all these others. Bullshit. It was supposed to be only for Jimmy. You know what? You got busted. You didn't report on time. You did it illegally. And so now you're trying to say, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do other things. There's no way Salud Carbajal needs money. He's going to win, you know?
And the Salud Carbajal deal, if they do give him money, they're not even... Or, I mean, they can promote him, like Karen was saying. You can promote them. If you give them a list or anything else, then it's in lieu of. It doesn't matter if you give them money. If you give them something, it has a monetary value to it. If you just promote them and you're paying for stuff, then in my opinion, it doesn't. I could be wrong. But you know, the thing with Salute is he's just on a whole different playing field. Salute is federal. This is state. The reporting is different. And these PACs, from my understanding, are state PACs. They do not cross over in the federal guidelines.
And I think that's the problem right now, the new problem, that they now that they lied and said, oh, we're going to do Salute, that created another problem for them.
Yeah, I think it creates a big problem
for them. But the whole thing to me is just... You know, I saw this with Adam Hill so many times when I was on the board with him. Whatever they're accusing, your opponent is accusing you of doing, or your peer on the board or whatever, and you're not doing it, they're doing it.
Right.
So, you know, here Jimmy is like, big PAC money from Adam Vernon from the developers. I don't take any developer money. Well, first of all, no developer would give you money. You know?
Right. He's been the most anti-development
Yeah, you want
candidate.
Nothing here, you know. But yet your legislative aide wrote a 100,000-word letter to the Tribune against me saying we need housing around here. I just graduated from Cal Poly James Sofranco. We need housing. There's no housing. I can't buy a home. It's a right. And then right. Jimmy turns down every housing project. You know?
And we do have a caller. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Good afternoon. I can remember some time ago, a year or two or three, following a supervisor around in a Jeep putting up signs. And that supervisor is with us today. And I'm happy to report that was the most fun day I ever had working on a campaign.
Okay, who is this?
Cody Ferguson.
Hi, Cody. How are you?
Well. And by the way, that chap over in Colorado has excellent taste in women.
Thank you. Well, I miss you, and good to hear your voice again. And I did not like putting up signs. It was one of my least favorite things, so thank goodness I had good people helping me do that.
Yes, a big fellow and I were following you around. I think we were on a Saturday or a Sunday.
I think one of those days it was in the rain, too, if I recall.
It was.
All right.
Yes. Yep. The bottom line is, listening to everything that's been said today so far, and knowing what I know about the incident, why isn't the FPPC been engaged?
Well, in my case, I never filed a complaint because I just learned of this yesterday. So I can still file a complaint. The window is narrowing, and I'm evaluating whether I want to do that or not. But, you know, it's kind of water under the bridge. I lost the election. So
it doesn't matter because that's what the FPPC was put in place.
I understand that. But, and you know,
monitor.
Also, Cody, with the FPPC, it can take years to get some resolution. And I'm assuming since my election was already over, this is not a priority of theirs. Now, maybe filing something with the FPPC would be good to do. And maybe now they're on alert because they just slapped Jimmy down on something. So maybe they'll take it. So I'm evaluating that. But I think the thing with the FPPC is it goes back to the candidate. And I think the problem not here is not just the candidate. It's Don Ernst and the big money that's coming in from him trying to control everything. And he's sort of untouchable in all this right now. You
well,
know?
You have a current example, a current violation that if no one else files, Adam Verdin should file. Because they're acting illegally against the election laws for California. There's no doubt about that. And they're doing it purposely because they don't want to report
exactly
who's giving them the money and how much money is involved.
Bingo. That's the big thing.
They're trying to hide it. And that's what the FPPC's mission is to discover these hidden violations of election law. I happen to know, because I've personally been fined over the election that we won by 77 percentile on the water district. So the people involved, a couple of them, who are, I don't see them actively involved anymore in anything, thought it was their duty to file on us. And, of course, I took the brunt of that. Because I was heavily involved in the application of the defense of our domestic water table. And the bottom line is, I will tell you how I resolved it. I don't mind telling. I just paid the fine. Because if I offered the amount that I was able to negotiate the Fair Political Practices Commission people down to, they would have paid it in a heartbeat to win that election. So I illegally helped win that election, but I was fined for it. So I actually paid to win the election. Oops, too late. That was too long ago to worry about it now. But everything was above board. I got filed on. I got blamed. People need to use this issue. They need to use the FPPC in their own favor.
Well, I don't disagree with you. However, I will say it's a bureaucracy, and I will say it's a left-leaning bureaucracy.
Oh, big time.
So if you're a Republican, in my opinion, I mean, I have a friend in Oceano who all the haters file against all the time, and there have been some FPPC complaints that have gone on for 5 and 6 years, and they've never been addressed. So I was kind of shocked by the complaint that was filed against Jimmy Paulding. I don't know if it was filed by Adam's campaign or who filed that, but where they acted within like 24 hours. That was shocking to me. I've never seen that. So I don't know if they were trying to set an example. So maybe if I filed, you know, that's on the radar. I don't know, but it could be 7 years. And really, the harm is already done, you know, like Karen had mentioned, 50,000 coming into...
Currently, this current mess, it isn't over.
Well,
listen... In my view, one of the worst supervisors out of the five is little Jimmy Paulding. I've researched this boy before he was elected. That's always kind of my job, to find out about the candidate. That's all important.
And Cody, we have some other callers that we need to get to. I do appreciate the call.
All right. Well, we'll talk soon.
Bye,
Thank
Cody.
You, sir.
Bye.
Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in the Sound Off.
Yeah, I had a question. How did Paulding get, I don't know whether it was 100% or over 100% of all the votes in an Apopka precinct? That would seem suspicious in such a close election.
Yes,
doesn't take more than a handful to flip it.
Well, I got a call about that. This was after the election and after the time that you could contest. And the person that called me said, do you know anybody in this, where this is? And they named the street. And I said, yeah, I know exactly where that is. It's Old Town Napomo. And he said, did you ever have anything come before the board where you pissed everybody off? And I said, no. I said, I have a friend that lives on that street and, you know, staunch supporter of mine, he and his wife. And he said, well, when I first looked at it, we looked at the reports per precinct, and I thought it was in Trilogy, because Trilogy voted overwhelmingly against me. And he said, I thought it was Trilogy. They voted more overwhelmingly in this precinct, in fact, more than Homes. There are homes or registered voters. And
are there not records that
researched? You can only contest it a certain period of time. And I didn't contest it because when I lost, I was like, it was a nasty campaign. I had threats against my children. And I was like, I need to move on. I need to, you know, get a job and move on. And so I didn't research it. And it was past the statute of limitations for the time to contest it. So then they destroy the ballots. So I'm sure somebody could go look into it now, but again, water under the bridge. But I thought that was something happened. And if you recall, that's the same election where, remember they found that basket under the counter for Bruce Gibson, and then he won the election by how many votes? One or two votes?
17. Basically, seven
13,
votes would have changed
believe.
It.
Okay, so it was the same election. So if you're asking me, do I believe shenanigans happened? Yes. If you're asking me, do I believe the voting machines were bad? No, I don't believe that. I know a lot of supporters of mine did, but I didn't believe
you
that.
You know, if I bought a Coke at a convenience store 10 years ago on my credit card, that record still exists.
Well.
And it's inexcusable that those records do not exist.
Maybe the records exist, but the time to challenge it is over.
Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately. But still, it needs to be looked into. I'm not asking to revisit, it's just like, you know, how did this happen?
And I think
who are these people?
They realistically keep the actual ballots, I believe, for 2 years. And I think that year they tried to find a reason to get rid of them in 18 months.
Well, and somebody did sue after my election on my election being illegitimate. And I knew nothing about it. I mean, I had heard about it.
Oh, I remember that.
And I was like, I'm not going to get involved.
Right.
I'm moving on. I've spent enough money and I'm done. I don't even know what the basis was for it or anything. But I was like, I am not having a part of this.
I forgot about it. I do remember that. I don't remember what happened or what.
Yeah, me neither.
Anyway, sir, we're going to get back to the conversation. Thank you for calling in. And so Interesting, huh? So I actually have somebody I'm trying to get on here that has, and he has no ID either. So the two candidates that I was talking to see if they reported any money, both of them were like, you think they'd be paying attention, but
usually, and that's not the candidate that pays attention to that. It's a campaign manager or something. I mean, that's what, or if you have an attorney that's working for your campaign or something. I mean, that was not something I would look through 460s that were pulled just to see who gave money and stuff like that. But I was completely clueless about filing dates and all that. That's where you hire somebody to do that.
And what's interesting to me in this, when you look at the treasurer, so to me, you know, and I've been a part of a few campaigns, your treasurer is, you know, the person that makes sure everything is legit. I mean, everything. They're filing your paperwork for you. They're your compliance manager. So to act like they didn't know what was going on, and it's been the same person. If this person ran Jimmy's campaign and has ran two PACs, and I don't know what else they've done, something tells me that they are also a compliance manager, and I don't know how they would turn a blind eye to this and not, you know, if you're trying to say that we gave money to other people, that's that person's job. And when I talk to people, I get a phone call every once in a while and somebody says, I want to run, and I go, the first thing you do is you hire your treasurer. I don't care about your manager. I don't care about your consultants. No advertising. You don't fill out your own paperwork. You don't do your own compliance. That's your treasurer's job. In my opinion, the main person you hire day one. So it's interesting to me that all this kind of happens in the treasury, because I don't think, and the only reason I'm saying that is because I think for the people out there, they probably don't realize that are listening that that is your compliance manager. So when we're naming the treasurer in here, it means they have a compliance manager, in my opinion.
Yeah. And these people have strict deadlines, and the deadlines, you know, the closer you get to the to the election, the shorter the disclosure and reporting guidelines are, because people have a right to know this stuff.
Exactly. And we do have another caller. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. You two are talking over each other. It's hard to understand. Make sure one finishes before the other one talks. Okay?
All right. Have thank a good you. Day. And we're going to go to break now. We'll be right back with more Sound Off.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing mixed after the Fed announced that it was holding interest rates steady at a range of 3.5% to 3.75%, where it has been since December, even as four officials dissent, the most at a policy meeting since 1992. In a statement, the Fed said developments in the Middle East are contributing to a high level of uncertainty about the economic outlook. More notably, Jerome Powell says he plans to remain on the board of the Fed after his term as chair ends next month for an undetermined period of time. In the meantime, oil prices are hovering near the most expensive levels since the war with Iran began, with West Texas Intermediate crude at $107 a barrel. The Dow winners, Visa, United Health Group, and Chevron. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Sherwin-Williams, and Boeing. The Dow falling 280 points, the Nasdaq up 9, S&P 500 down 3. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. We are talking about Jimmy Paulding. We're talking about two PACs. You know, in my opinion, and this is definitely just opinion started by Don Ernst, we've gone over kind of the whole backstory as far as Lynn Compton's concerned. And again, thank you, because I think this makes for, I think this really explained things. And I hope, you know, I'll be talking to Adam when we get this out, you know, this, the podcast out, this can get down to South County and be heard, because I think it makes bigger impact there. But I'm glad we're sitting here talking about it, and it is being recorded so we can get it out down there and maybe kind of shed some light. And again, just an opinion of mine, I don't expect anybody to answer this if you don't want to, but I look at this and you look at, you know, I know a lot about Don Ernst. I don't know a whole lot about Ray Madison, but from my understanding, he's not a big political guy. And that's what I've heard from actually several people. And I've heard some allegations made, and I'm not going to make the allegations. I'm just going to put it out there that they have been made, that it appears that Don Ernst might be funding these other donations. Like, he's giving the people like Ray or whoever a little bit of money and saying, hey, donate this, which is
illegal.
If that illegal. Is the case, it is highly illegal, because you have to know who the money came from.
Right.
You know, so I can't give money to Karen and say, give it to Lynn, because people should know it comes from Eric.
Right.
So that's an interesting thing that I've been hearing. Since the original article went out, I've been hearing people say that. Now, I have no proof of that.
Well,
I'm not going to go out on a limb here.
Another interesting thing, too, is I had no meetings with Ray Madison at all over all the years. You know, he, to me, you know, I know he was, I think he's retired. He was Don's partner. But Don was the one that was calling the shots. So I've heard that same thing, too. I don't know if you'd ever find out this case, but it was also interesting that Ray would make these donations, but also Ray has a son that's been in serious legal trouble, and I don't even know if he has a job or anything. And he would be making the son, under the son's name, huge contributions to candidates too. Now, how does someone that I don't believe had a job at the time, that's in trouble with the law, be making $10,000 and $20,000 contributions to political candidates? So that's a little suspicious,
right? And it's all fishy. Like, we were talking about that election. I think that election, when it came to your election, and when it came to district, I guess it was two at the time, the two Bruces, there was some very unusual things going on. And I'm with you in that. I think there was unusual things. I don't think it was the machines. Just like finding those, it's weird. And I can't prove anything, so I'm not going to say there was election fraud. But when people ask me, I can name off about seven things that are just like, huh, that's really weird, you know? And I think this is another one of them. It's like, I can't prove anybody did anything, but just hearing what the people have to say, and it is hearsay for me anyway, and you know these people a lot better than I do. But I've been hearing it a lot since the original, I got tongue-tied there, the original story came out last week.
Well, if you look at, just as a county, and this is all reportable, you can just go online and look at it, and you look at the money that Don Ernst has donated into, I mean, and he donates to governor's races too, it's not just local, but in any given year, if you went back 20 years and looked, it's between, you know, $30,000 to $100,000 every year, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, he is a huge donor. Why? What? Why would you give away that money of yours that's hard-earned money? What are you expecting to get when you're giving away money that big? Why do you want to give? Why have you given Jimmy, between both elections now, over $100,000 personally and through PACs to get him elected? What do you expect to get from that? You're criticizing your opponent for taking money from a developer on a project that's already been voted on that is not going to even, you know, have anything to do with him. You criticized me. You know, what is he getting in return? And that's why I go back to the whole Rita thing. And were there things that slid through that we didn't know? I mean, I felt like the whole time I was on the board, and I can speak for another board member because we used to talk about this, and we just felt like staff and the bureaucracy just was like, well, we'll outlive a supervisor. You know, they'll be off the board and we're going to do what we want. And, you know, and whether it came to the planning department or, you know, they just... they didn't want to listen. They found hurdles and obstacles. And so I'm looking back and reevaluating it all and saying, was Don involved in all those decisions? I don't know. We'll never know because Rita retired, you know. But I just know he was adamant about getting her hired and keeping her on the board. He's adamant about keeping the board majority with Jimmy Paulding. And there's something he's got to be getting out of it. You just don't give $100,000 of your own money.
Well, regardless of the fact, I mean, I look at anybody when you're giving money, if you're giving that, you know, you're in that low budget, you're giving $50, $500, whatever it is, you're doing it because you believe in somebody. You have probably a political, you know, you want it to go conservative, you want it to go liberal, whatever it may be. But then you get into, you know, when it's looking at the bigger dollars or PACs, because, you know, that's a whole nother beast because you can get around those limits that we have. And to me, you're always, what are you buying? I don't care if it's going to a Republican, if it's going to a Democrat, what are they buying? So if a developer is putting money into Adam Verdon, well, he has a pro-development. He wants development to happen. Adam says he wants development. Yeah, I think he's kind of proven it.
Well, I would so disagree. I know Adam well. He worked with me when I was in Oceano and stuff like that. I don't think Adam wants development. I think Adam wants reasonable development.
Well, yeah.
He wants our children. He's got a son graduating from high school next month, and the other son just graduated from college. He wants his kids to be able to come and live back here. I have two girls that are 25. One of them has an awesome job here in Templeton, and she can't afford to come back here and live and buy a house. I mean, so you don't want development willy-nilly. You want it spread out reasonably throughout the county, and I think that's his stance. But God forbid a developer give money because, you know, then you're tarred and feathered. And the problem that I had with the PACs is, when you limit the individual limit for contributions, that's like small businesses. So you're hurting the backbone of the country and saying, you guys can't give, but we're going to let IBEW or all the unions give money out of Sacramento. Jimmy got a lot of money out of Sacramento. We're going to let them all donate, you know, to defeat you. So you're really penalizing the little guy. And that's why he voted for it, because he wanted to shut down the small donations.
And I was looking through he did a radio show not too long ago, and I was looking at through his donations. And when it comes to IBU, he was taking money from both groups. We have your local group and that. And I asked him on this show, I said, so why is Sacramento giving you money? Like, what do they get out of this? And he just kept going back, local. And I'm like, no, but Sacramento IBU is giving you money, so why? And he would just refuse to answer the question.
Well, another interesting thing is he gets a lot of money and has in his election, you know, against me from the firefighters union. So he just voted, and I got a mailer of his the other day, and in the mailer it said, you know, I put an extra person on the fire, you know, on the fire truck. Well, the unions were completely pushing that, and put aside whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing to do, I don't know, you know, but the unions wanted it. So they give him a bunch of money. He votes for that. They get what they want.
Right. And we do have another call. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Good afternoon. I know that you're talking about the county and the supervisors, et cetera, but I want anybody who's listening to really understand that when you start talking about donations and your donors and your supporters, when this next election for city comes up, watch their websites, see who's donating, and really pay attention to who is doing the supporting and who's getting a benefit for supporting that candidate. And that's in the city of Paso Robles.
And that is always good advice. Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
On a side note, we won't go into this. I think the city of Paso is going to be very interesting, and I think we have two candidates, one for mayor, one for city council, that are bought and paid for by very big money are going up right now.
I've heard, I haven't verified anything, but
I think they sound like wonderful. I think they sound like wonderful candidates.
Yeah, wonderful.
I'm not following that race at all. So.
Anyway, we'll see. I don't know that either, but that's what I'm hearing right now. Those are kind of bought and paid for candidates. We'll see what happens.
I agree with what the caller said. You need to follow that. But the problem in this situation that we've been talking about for the last hours, they didn't disclose, so nobody could follow.
Yeah, they hit it the best they could and as long as they could. And that's a huge problem because, you know, what did we hear, you know, especially during redistricting? Everything needs to be transparent. That's when we went through the transparency stage of California, or really the United States. And this is the least transparent thing you can possibly do, which it breaks so many different laws. And of course, usually what happens is people say, I'm sorry, I messed up. And, you know, you might get a fine, you might get slapped on the wrist. When you start moving stuff around, it looks a little fishy to me. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I met Bill Biden, and I thought I was going to support him until I found out he was part of the cabal to get rid of Chris Bausch. Chris Bausch is the only really smart and intelligent person on our city council. I mean, his background is impeachable. He's been a CEO of companies and everything. And that came out yesterday on the talk show program. Paul Sloan, also working for the city, has an immense background. And those two are going to be the ones that get the spaceport here, nobody else.
I think you might be on to something there. Thanks for calling in. And, it's going to be interesting. I think we have an interesting couple of weeks. And I would, Lynn, just personally, I think for Adam's sake, I would love to see you file a complaint. Because I think it just bolsters his complaint, especially if they come in at the same time.
So much for my retirement. I was getting away from all of this.
right. Maybe I can bribe an ex official. I'll take you to lunch if you...
Okay, you do all the paperwork and I'm good with it.
I want to ask you something else. One of the things, and again, when you have a lot of money to send out flyers, you can do things like saying, I was responsible for the new substation in Napomo.
Right.
Lynn... wasn't that something that you pushed for years?
Well, what I say about Jimmy is, and people will say it's sour grapes. You know, you lost the election, sour grapes. Actually, losing the election was probably the best thing that happened to me personally because I went to Colorado and got married. And, you know, so personally, it was the best thing. But, you know, they say it's sour grapes. So I remember on one of Jimmy's flyers, he said he opened the skate park. He was there for the ribbon cutting. That's it. It happened about a month after he got into office. But he just embellishes everything. And I guess good politicians do that, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, with regard to the sheriff's substation, it came up numerous times. The person that funded the sheriff's substation was the builder of Trilogy, John Scardino. And there were contracts. And that was another kind of confrontation I had with Rita, whether something was ambiguous or not. But we had so many meetings. And it actually came up under Paul Teixeira before me. So to say... yeah, maybe he got some funding for it, but to say he's building the chef substation and get in videos and say that is—it's just I call bullshit again. You know, it was a 20-year process of getting there, but it was funded initially because Trilogy was built, and so more services were needed. But Trilogy—they didn't want it within Trilogy, so it was moved. But we had it come before us, probably 15 times.
Yeah, I listened to Jimmy the other day, and when we went back, it's interesting, and I'll take this way back even to like Adam Hill, Bruce Gibson, and when Jimmy ran the first time, and you know, I remember, and believe it or not, I might get like stabbed before I leave here, but I knew Adam to an extent. We argued with each other, like it was somebody fun to banter with. I didn't really like Adam. As to hang out with him, but it was a good political argument we had. And when he started pushing Jimmy on me and the way he was pushing Jimmy, it was like, I remember driving and he said, because I had said something on Facebook or something about Jimmy that, he's saying he's a conservative, blah, 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 blah. Got attacked by Adam, and then this is how, and all of a sudden it all made sense. This is just to me, it was like locally because I was, that's why I was first getting into local politics. I mean, I had been in city politics, but the county, I was kind of looking at that. And it was like, this is what they do. They sit here and they realize, and I saw Gibson do this in the 2022 campaign. People don't realize when I'm lying, so I can just lie.
Right.
Well, and they won't call me out because they don't know how to. And I heard Gibson and I've heard Jimmy do the same thing. And they're just banking on the fact that you don't actually know the details. Right. And guess what? Most people don't.
Well, I'll give you a couple examples from my race. So he told everybody that he was related to the Paulding family, Paulding Middle School. So there's a huge name recognition with Paulding Middle School. Everybody's kid went through there in Rio Grande. And he told everybody he was related. He's not at all related to them.
Right.
That was just one of the lies. So we had to go through the Historical Society.
Well, we'll be right back for the last 15 minutes. Stay tuned. And make sure you get that number out if you need to call.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219-9910.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner-broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. We are in the last stretch of the show, so if you do want to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, that phone line is 805-238-5775, 805-238-KPRL. We'd love to hear from you. Come join the conversation. So I think one thing we haven't really got to, and maybe Karen, you can kind of speak to this, as you know, Dan Dow's looking at this. It looks like it's getting more and more interesting. Do you have any source on what's happening with that?
Yes, I do. And for those that, when the article came out, probably about four, a different article, Dan Dow looked into it. He found some things that he thought were bad. He sent them out. He put the treasurer of the current committee on notice and said, you're not to get rid of things. You're not to do this. And you got to explain to me why you're doing a one-person committee and not filing it correctly. Well, they suddenly said money they claimed they gave to Jimmy was now given to other people, and that money is being used for multiple campaigns. And they came and they made a bunch of changes. I will have more coming out on this. There's a problem, though. I've heard that there is now allegations that they did. There are different laws regarding state and U.S. candidates. And I don't know all the rules on here, but what I've heard is you can't use a state PAC and for both federal...
There's two different groups altogether that regulate that, and they're not registered as a federal PAC, from my understanding.
And so in that regard, they couldn't give the money to Carbajal. So they might have tried to get out of one sticky situation and jumped headfirst into another.
Well, I have a quick question, though. Hines did not work for the IWMA, did they? Did she?
I don't know.
Because the last, you know, when Dan called there, they just started deleting, they started shredding paper.
She lives in Napomo. I mean, she's a Napomo resident.
Okay.
And I want to say she was involved with Karen Ray's campaign. I don't know what capacity, but I mean, I've heard her name for 15 years in Democrat circles. So, okay. And she's a loyal soldier for the Democrat, whoever is running.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, that is interesting. And this is a change of heart when all of a sudden, oh, this money was meant actually for five people or whatever it is. That seems a little suspicious. And I would imagine Adams' campaign is going to be filing with... what is it, FPPC? And then the other one's what, FHC? Anyway, I can't remember what the federal is. But I imagine he's going to be filing with the state of California. And I would imagine something like this, when all of a sudden you change where the money goes through, too, would get really scrutinized, I would imagine.
This is what I didn't bring up, too, that I suspect happened. I truly believe there was communication between the campaign and this PAC that was formed, because everybody knows the central person. So they communicated and they probably said, look, we're going to put $100,000 in, whatever. So you go ahead and develop your mailers. You spend money on TV. You do your text messages, which all of which he's doing. And just know that at the last minute, we're going to give you this so you're going to be covered, because he hadn't raised enough money to do all that. And he just knew $100,000 was going to come in. So because it takes months to get flyers, it takes months to cut, you know, TV, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it can't be done at the last minute. So he knew.
Yeah, and if you look at this, that to me is the most egregious thing, because there is to be no contact between PACs and candidates. So if there is contact and you know that, you know, in your case, okay, well, we're going to come in and we're going to hit her with all the negative stuff, you do positive. Well, that's a huge thing for that other candidate that ran against you. And beyond that, you know, I don't know, you go back in that time period, what were we hearing all about? Not here locally, but federally, we were hearing collusion. This is collusion to me. This is literally the definition of collusion.
You have a central person that worked on your campaign, that worked on every Democrat cause, that knows the law. There had to be maybe not direct communication, but it was through maybe Don Ernst. You know, I'm going to give Dorothy Hines, you know, you do what you need to do, but you got $100,000 coming to you.
Right, yeah, and that'll be, there's probably no way to prove that, and that's,
no,
you know.
Because nobody wants to end up a campaign with $100,000 in the bank that's not used. And when you do it that close to an election, it's going to go unused. You can't use it. So you have to pre-plan all these things. So
exactly.
Don't tell me that.
And this wasn't an easy election. This wasn't, you know, John Pashong running against, I can't remember the woman's name here, that raised $60,000. And, you know, he had won before, was his first ad, in my opinion.
Right.
But this was a fight. It was a dog fight, and it had been after another dog fight, you know, 4 years early. So he needed all the help he could get, and it looks like he got it in a not so good way, at least for you and at least legally. I mean.
Well, another thing I was going to mention, too, that he didn't was, and this came up on a different radio show out of San Luis, but he tells everybody he's a conservative, you know, and a mistake that I made was my signs were blue, and people associate blue with Democrat, red with Republican. So he tells everybody, when you walk precincts, you know what the house is because you have the data file before you go there. You know, it's one Republican, one Democrat, whatever. Well, when he goes to the houses that are Republican, he tells people he's conservative. And when asked about it, he goes, well, I was raised conservative. But that's a lie.
I mean, you're misleading the people intentionally.
You're misleading because you know that that person is a Republican.
Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Good afternoon. Eric, I want you to take her to lunch and and fill out the paperwork.
Oh, got man, it? Now I got to do it. I'll job. Probably mess it up.
You do.
All right, sir, thank you.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I don't think you want me to fill out your paperwork.
You know, it's so funny because when I'm in Colorado, none of this comes up. You know, I'm not even following the news or anything like that. And then I come back for a couple of months. I've been here since November. I come back, and then everybody's dragging me into everything, you know, and be on the radio and get, you know. And I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. But,
about you. This is about your race.
I know. Oh, yeah. I know.
But. And to your point, what you were just talking about, Jimmy, I was telling you on one of the breaks, and I'll let the people listening hear this too, because I'm hoping this goes to South County. I'm hoping this podcast gets picked up. I'm hoping Adam runs with it, puts it in the right places. But I've currently been dating someone, and I was telling you this early, that it's kind of because of you in a roundabout way, because she called me to say, remember what you told me about Jimmy? He's doing it. He's doing what he did to Lynn. But basically, you know, she has a business. Most of that business is in Trilogy. She deals with people. She knows their political backgrounds. So she was going to these people going, okay, I know you're a conservative. Why do you have Jimmy signs in your yard? Why are you helping this guy? And the same thing. Well, he told us he was a conservative. And so I think she's gotten something like 10 signs taken down in Trilogy. And there's a lot of other people that she's talked to that have said the same, like, they don't have signs up, but they're like, oh, we're supporting Jimmy, but why? He's the liberal. And they're like, no, he's not.
Yeah, he deceives people about that. So if you get married to this person, then you can say, I was behind it. It's funny because there was another couple that you all knew, I won't mention their name, but when they came to my first election party, that was their first date, and they got married.
Oh,
so
really?
I guess I'm
there
a matchmaker.
There might be someone. There might be something to this. Oh, man. So what have we missed here? We're going to run low, but I'm sure there's...
I think there's going to be more coming out. We'll have to see if Lynn decides to take legal action. We have to see what the DA is going to be doing next. Because, again, he told them to watch what they were doing, and they changed the filing.
Right.
And then they also put in the stuff about Carbajal. So I think this is going to be one of the big discussions during this election.
Yeah, and I will say, I was talking to someone last night, actually, from San Luis, too. And we were talking about this election, and I think Adam's been doing a very good job. And I think Jimmy has done everything he could to hand this to Adam. Not that he's not out there campaigning, but there's been a lot of mistakes in this election on Jimmy's part.
And he doesn't admit them when he makes them.
No, exactly. He buries them. It's not true. He's, you know, it's the whole, what we've seen on the progressive side in this county is just don't admit to anything. People aren't that smart. They won't know what to say. But it's interesting to me because I think Jimmy's been doing almost everything he can to give this away. And Adam's working his butt off, so I hope that pays off for him.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I still have a vested interest in South County. I've lived in my home for 31 years. I raised my children there. I want to die in that home at some point, hopefully not soon. And, you know, I'll never leave it. And so I want somebody to represent us, you know, not shove battery plants and everything down there and put additional taxes on us. And I really do think Adam has a good heart. I don't know. I haven't said this on the radio before, but I met him initially because his son was a high school student at Mission High School, and he interned in my office when I was supervisor. So I got to meet him, and he's just a stellar, honest person, and I hope people see that. But people are engaged in their lives. They've got, you know, finance issues and kid issues and school, and they just have to delve in stuff. If someone tells you they're a conservative, look them up, because they could be lying, you know?
Right, and to your point, I don't think that everybody always knows this. When somebody knocks on your door and they say, hey, they know exactly who's on the other side, and they know if you're a hard Republican, they know if you're a soft Republican, a hard Democrat, etc. You know, all that information is there. They know your name. They're not just, oh, hey, Mrs.
We even know how many elections they voted in the
past. Exactly, you can see their past. So that election software is really there, just in case you didn't know. Adam's event tomorrow in Templeton. I'm not sure. We got a text.
Well, tonight's the debate. Tonight there's a debate between Adam and
Jimmy. Yeah. All right. So we got it. Anybody have any last words before we go?
Good to be with you guys. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you, and I do appreciate this. I think this is going to be an awesome show. I think it should help Adam out.
And thank you, too.
All right. We'll be right back. Karen will be back tomorrow. And stay tuned in the morning.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.